Okay, so today we are dealing with renewing the mind. So we are going to be dealing with a few things that the Lord showed me. And Alice, every single time I sat down and I said, okay, Lord, I need to have notes, you know? And the Lord said, no. And I've made a couple of pointers. I haven't made notes. So God just wanted me to share from my heart. But we have got some scriptures. So if you want to take the scriptures down, I've got, let me just check here. I've got eight. So if I give you each, have you got Bibles with you?
Yeah.
Hand?
No.
I've got pen and paper.
Can fetch it.
No, I was going to get you guys to read it. That's why I was. But anyway,
Okay.
I'll give you. And if I go too fast, please just wave at me, and I will slow down. Okay. So, my first scripture is Romans 12, verse 1 and 2. Okay, ready for the next one?
Yep.
Romans 12, verse 9 to 21.
Yep.
Okay. Colossians 3, verses 2 and 10. Okay. 2 Corinthians 12, verses 4 and 5. Okay. Romans 8, verse 5 and 6. Ephesians 4, verse 21 to 24. Philippians 4, verse 8. And Isaiah 26, verse 3.
26, huh?
20, yeah, 20.
26 verse 3.
Okay.
Those are basically just the eight that I've got loads more, but those are the eight that I've just kind of clipped onto. Right. So what I want is just quickly, in your own words, what do you think renewing your mind means?
Debunking your old thoughts, your old negative thoughts, or taking any negative thoughts captive and renewing them to better thoughts, godly thoughts.
Okay. Wendy?
Getting a new perspective on something. Like if you had an impression about something that you sort of come to a realization that it's not quite that, and it's there's something new about it that makes you see it in a different way.
Okay. Molly?
I guess I'd like to know the mind of God better
Okay.
on situations.
All right. Tracy.
Yeah, I think like everyone said, to me it's, you know, when you get those thoughts, you know they're not the right thoughts to have, or they're more on the negative side, to make that choice that you want better thoughts. You know, you make that choice to change it from the negative to the positive, which is not always easy, but yeah.
Right. So just imagine you have highways and byways, okay? So highways are like really defined. They are built solidly. They are, some of them are bridges, so there's really good construction. Byways is normally just little roads that are by the way, okay? And then you get ditches on these things. And some are only like little ditches. Others are very deep ditches. Now, when we are born, our brain, our mind begins to form patterns. Some places we are building highways. Some places we built byways. And some places we built ditches of different depths. This is how God explained it to me. All right. Now, some of those are in good places. They need to remain there, especially if you were brought up in a Christian home. If you weren't, then it's different. Or if you came to the Lord when you were young. And even if it is, you were young and you wandered off the path and you still had what I would call Christian instruction, whether it was good or bad, at this time. Just think about it as that. So that is what's, who's disappeared? Tracy's disappeared. May, I wonder if she's had electricity. Let's just give her 2 minutes to see if she's going to reconnect. Right. Okay, so let's go on. I'm sure she'll connect with us. There we are. What happened to you? You've got yourself on mute.
My screen just gets frozen of everyone and I can't get back in.
Okay, well, you're back in now, so that's okay. Right. Okay. So that was one description, one picture that he showed me. Then he showed me another picture. So when we were born, it's like a seed that's being planted. Let's take an acorn tree, for example, or an oak tree. Okay, that seed is so small and it gets planted. And as it grows, the root system grows and it establishes itself. And some of the roots, I mean, some oak trees have got roots that are miles long, not just like a normal tree. They are miles long. And they can dip into different rivers, underground or whatever. They get fed wherever they can find food to eat. Okay, so it's different rivers, moisture, et cetera, et cetera. Now, our minds are like that. If you imagine your mind being like that. Oh, okay. There we go. Just let me go and give the dog his thing quickly. Woof.
There we are. Wendy, please don't fall into that mug. We'll lose you.
It's big because
it's
huge.
It's
quite small. Yeah. It's huge because it's in front of the camera.
It is a blog.
Right, thank you, ladies, for that.
Quick, quick.
Yeah, well, I prepared it all already. So he gets very spoiled. He gets his medication in scrambled egg, I ask you. Anyway. So that is what we are dealing with. We are dealing with, so at the end of the day, we are dealing with whether if we were brought up in a Christian home, we've got Christian thoughts and byways, whether they're correct or not. And then you've got worldly thoughts and byways, correct or not. Okay. So if we go to Romans 12, verse 1, it says, I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. Right. So, Molly, you said you wanted to know the will of God, you wanted to know the mind of God, that kind of thing. So, basically, what in Romans they say is that when we renew our minds, we do not transform ourselves to the ways of the world. Now, we can only do that, and I know, Molly, you shared quite a bit about God changing your mind and your perspective on things, and that's basically what it is. So imagine God doesn't come in and smash down all those byways and highways and fill in all those ditches, because then we would have dead brains. But what he does is he gently and lovingly works on us to change that. If there's a route that is totally in the wrong direction, God might chop it off. And that can be quite severe sometimes. But mostly you'll find that he burrows in and he redirects the route to the pure stream of water where it can feed from. So renewing your mind is, where do you feed your mind? Do you feed it through spending time in the Word, spending time in God's presence, around other Christians of like-mindedness? Do you spend time watching TV? Do you spend what time? I'm talking about excessively. I'm not talking about relaxing, okay? I'm talking about excessively here. Yeah? Okay, it's all excessive. It's not
the head of God.
Yes. So even secular music, okay? Are you spending so much time in the secular music that's the way that your brain is thinking? All right? It influences. So basically what the Lord said to me is that what I surround myself with is what will influence my mind. And sometimes it can be subconsciously. It doesn't even have to be consciously. If you think about a lot of people, let's say commit suicide, if you actually have to go into it, a lot of times they've surrounded themselves with very negative people, very depressed people, and often they are overtly, on the outside, overtly joyful, because all the work is inside. And that, if you remember, that's what I said, that which is invested in you is greater than that which is in the world. But a lot of times we invest things in the world into us instead of Christ in us, who's already there, partnering with him to be all that he's called us to be. Okay, so if you think about like the cults, they surround themselves with guys that are suicidal. Marshall read a book once, and it and basically what it said is that now I've got to get it right. The kingdom emanates from the character of the king. So the person who is king in your life.
The character of the kingdom emanates from the character of the king. That's what I just said.
No, you didn't.
Excuse me, I'm taping.
It's because he read the book, see? Okay, he read the book. I didn't. But basically, the essence the essence of it is whoever is king in your life, right, is what you will emanate. You will become like that person. If you look at churches, and I've looked at a few that God showed me and that kind of thing, if the pastor has been in an adulterous affair with anybody and it's done in secret, you look at around at his congregation and you will find that many, many of his congregation are having affairs, because the character of the king is emanated in the character of
he's sometimes called the eminence.
If we surround ourselves with drug addicts, with alcohol people, with overeaters, with whatever you'd like to, with people who've got sweet tubes, whatever, we will automatically follow because we'll think it's normal. We'll think it's natural.
Yeah.
But the minute God comes in and he says, that's not natural, that's you abusing your body, that's you abusing your soul, that's you, I want to help you overcome that. That is when he begins to change those highways and byways. And as you've all said, in the regards to the covenant, it's not always easy. And some things are easier to give up than others. Okay. As I said to you, I think it was last week, when my mom gave her life to the Lord and she said to the Lord, Lord, if it's really you, help me to give up smoking. And she did instantly, from being a chain smoker to not smoking at all. God instantly. But there were other things that she had to work through. It didn't take her an instant moment to get rid of it. With me, it's exactly the same. There's certain things that I used to read romantic novels, loads. And as I shared with you before, is that if I start a book, I have to finish it before I go to bed. I cannot go to bed unless I finish the whole book. If I watch a movie, it's the same thing. I don't care how terrible the movie is. It's just part of who I am. So now I know, don't start a book. And I used to read 2-3 books a day, sometimes more, okay? And I know, for me, sorry?
Those are those little easy to read ones.
No, it wasn't always the easy to read ones. Yeah, no, sometimes it was, but basically.
Don't start watching series, Vanessa. Don't start watching series.
I don't. No. Do you know what? Actually, Marshall helped me there. I used to watch a series and I used to get so agitated. I used to get so grumpy because I never knew the end. And I realized that's when God started dealing with me, that there's certain things I must just not pick up. I do not pick up romantic novels anymore, because once I'm sucked in, you lose me. If I watch a series and there's no end, I will get so unhappy within myself because I need to know the end.
So you've got to go to season 2 and 3 and 4.
No, I don't watch. I do watch series that have a story within each week that I can deal with, but never one that's like we've got here. I don't know what you've got in South Africa now, but we've got things like Coronation Street, and we've got things like it's all, and they've been on for 25 years and they're still going on. I would never be able to watch something like that because it would destroy me, and God knows that. Do you know what I mean? So what I'm saying is, when God highlights something in your life, you need to find out, is it something that you really need to say, okay, I've closed the door on that, no more to that. Do Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Or is it something that I can have occasionally, or, you know what I mean, partake in occasionally, but not allow it to get to that stage where the books and the series were. Okay. I've also got to watch, you can also deceive yourself, okay? If you know a series is say 8 seasons long, I can watch a season at a time through the day. And then you've lost a whole day. That's the same thing.
No. Yes.
Because I have to know the end. That is my weakness. I have to know the end. So I have to know, and God's had to teach me how to manage that in my life. Yes. Which is not, it's not an easy thing to do, because I always have to know the end. And I think in a way, because God's blessed me prophetically, sometimes he does show me things that will be the end, whether it's good or bad or whatever, good, bad and ugly, you know. But I know for me, I've had to change my thinking in regards to reading those books, in regards to watching series. I don't do that anymore because I know that it will destroy me. So I have chosen not to do those things. We don't have a TV license, so we don't watch TV. You know, the normal, what you guys have got, you've got like channels, whatever. We have channels 1, 2, and 3. I think we've got 5 channels that are basic channels that everybody in England watches, but you have to pay a license fee to watch those. If you don't pay a license fee, you're not allowed to watch those. We have got a TV and we've got a video, a DVD player, and we have things on streaming. So if I want to watch a movie, that's the way that I do it. We don't have constant, I just don't have time at this moment in time, which I thank God for, but I don't have time to watch anything like that because I can get sucked in. So God puts protection in there, but we can always break through that if we're really rebellious or we really want to have our own way. And that's where we have to be careful when we're renewing our minds. So in Romans 12, 1 to 2, he's talking about our bodies being a living sacrifice. Because when we renew our minds, we change the way that we think, we change what we fill our minds with. And when we change what we fill our minds with, we will change the way that we eat. We will change the way that we do things. We will change maybe even the sports that we do. Because renewing our minds can change every aspect of your life if you allow it to.
Yeah.
Right. So in Romans 12, 9 to 21, it says, let love be genuine. Now, remember in King time, we dealt about forgiving ourselves and that we have to love ourselves, okay? So let love be genuine. Abhor what is evil, hold fast to what is good. Love one another with brotherly affection. Outdo one another in showing honor. Do not be slothful in zeal. Be fervent in spirit, serve the Lord. Rejoice in hope, be patient in tribulation, be constant in prayer, contribute to the needs of the saints, and seek to show hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse them. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Weep with those who weep. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be haughty, but associate with the lowly. Never be wise in your own sight. Repay no one evil for evil, but give thought to what is honorable in the sight of all. If possible, so far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all. Beloved, never avenge yourselves, but leave it to the wrath of God, for it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. To the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink. for by so doing, you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Now, our naturalism is, if somebody does something to offend us, we want to get even. That's the human nature, okay? But God is saying the opposite. And that's what I keep saying is turn it on its head. When it looks like it could be right, go to God and say, God, is this right? Give me confirmation. Right. Now, I used to say, okay, Lord, you say that vengeance is yours, but you give me full instruction that I can heap burning coals on that person's head. Until I learned that in those days, they used to travel and they used to have a special kind of bowl thing that they used to put on the top of their heads. And what they used to do is they used to take two coals from the fire that they were sitting around. They took it and put it on their heads, firstly to keep themselves warm, but secondly, when they got to the place that they had to go to, they had fire ready to start the next fire. So it was actually a blessing. It wasn't a curse on them. So by heaping coals of fire on their head, you were providing warmth and provision for their next stop. Now, if that isn't the total opposite of what the world would interpret heaping coals of fire on the person's head, then I don't know what is. And that got me thinking about lots of things of how do we renew our minds? Do we renew it in the way that somebody preaches to us or somebody has said something? Or do we go to God and say, okay, God, explain to me. What do you want me? How do you want me to think about this thing? Now, because God is such a fantastic, wonderful God and his character is so abounding and so different, he's created us in his image, so abounding and so different. The principles might be the same, but the way God renews our minds could be totally different. And we can never say it's right or wrong because we don't have that relationship that somebody else has. Yeah. They might be a baby in Christ. They might be extremely mature in Christ. Doesn't matter. We can never, ever say that it's not the way God will renew their minds. We have to go before God ourselves and say, God, help me to renew my mind in the way and with what you want me to renew it. Okay. So forgiveness is renewing your mind. It's thinking of people in unconditional love, not necessarily liking what they do or who they are at that time or any of those things, but loving them irrespective of what they do. Now that is not easy to do, but that is something that we need to do. All right. I don't know if any of you will get to have watched or will get to watch Sunday. I don't know if we did it in that. Anyway, basically, the word is living. Yeah. It, imagine a stream. If that stream stopped running and moving, it would become a pond, which then gets fungi in, which then becomes poisonous, which then will not bring life. It will bring death. The word itself is a living, flowing, let's call it a river. It is ever changing, but always the same. Okay. Water is always the same in the fact of the freshness, the life-giving elements in it, but it's always changing because it's moving from one spot to another. And that is what the word is. Now, I might be at one stage in the at the river and drink from it and get a perspective. Oh, when Gail's now jumped out, maybe hers, because she also froze. Shame, everybody's kidding. We should have prayed about the internet before we started. It is ever changing, but so I drink it at the beginning of the river and I get a revelation of what that river means to me. 2 miles down the road, Tracy drinks from that river and she gets a different perspective. It's the same river. It's the same refreshing, but you get a different perspective of it. Mm. Okay. And that is why when we read the word, you can read one scripture 6,000 times, but I'm telling you 6,000 times, if you open to God, it will renew your mind and it'll show you a different part of his character and it'll show you something different. And that's what people, it's not a textbook. It is not a textbook that can just be words in it. It's a living word. It's Jesus in word. Okay, that's what it says in John. All right. So basically, where are you in your journey? And how much of that living water do you drink? If you only have a sip of it a day, it will still refresh you. It will still nourish you. But will it do the job that it needs to do? There might be even times where you have to step into the river. Not just on the side, but you have to step into the river. And I find that stepping into the river is a time when my mind is so stuck on something that no matter how much I think about something, I can't change my way of thinking. And I've got to immerse myself in to the Lord so that he can help me to change my way of thinking. Just let me just see. I think she might have just.
She put a message on that Nova has on saying she has to go.
Yeah. Okay. All right. That's fine. At least we're not waiting for her to come back. That's okay. So basically, there are times in our lives when we have to immerse ourselves, and there's times when we can just sip of it. So, and there's other times where we drink of it. But if we continually meeting with that living water, we will continually change. If you think about when the Israelites were in Egypt and they were told about the promised land. There came a time where Moses led them and everything, and then he said to them, let's go inquire of the Lord. And they said, no, you go inquire of the Lord and we will do whatever you come back and tell us that the Lord has said. Now, sometimes we are like that. We want to sit under ministry. We want to sit and listen to it, but we don't actually want to pick up the word and work at it. We don't want to actually go and meet God ourselves. We would rather have somebody else go and meet God and then come back and tell us. And in that, yes, there is time and seasons for that. I'm not negating that at all. But if it becomes a way of life, it's almost like you're a secondhand Christian because you're getting secondhand news. Whereas you could actually go to the living word yourself and meet with him, bring from him, change because you're in his presence and become the person that God is calling you to. Okay. Now there's times where that's easy to do and that's times when it's hard to do. I mean, I've just gone through a season where I have not been able to specifically pick up the word and read it. All right. But what I've done is I have taken on my app, I've got the word that gets spoken. So I have put that on. And sometimes I don't even have enough time during the day. So I sleep with that word going on right through under my pillow, in my ear, right throughout the night. So that I can still nourish my spirit so that it can drop into my heart and I can still change. Now, I'm not negating that that's what you have to do all the time either. But what I'm saying is every season, you don't want to eat rice and say pork all the time. You would like to have potatoes, you would like to have beef, a variety of meals. But what I'm saying is, whichever season you're in, to dip into the Word of God, to dip into the living waters, do whatever God is calling you to do in that season. I would not suggest, if he's calling you to read the Word, I would not suggest you putting it under your pillow and listening to it, because that's, you're not going to get anything from it. Follow what he's telling you in obedience, even if you feel like it's a duty, because obedience is better than sacrifice. Okay? Through our obedience, God blesses us. Through our obedience, we are able to move on and become all that he's called us to be. And that is renewing our minds. So, the Lord involves you in renewing your mind. You have a choice. We have free will to renew our minds or not. But the longer we take to renew our minds, the harder it becomes to renew our minds. The quicker we're obedient and do whatever he's asking us to do, the easier it is. Even if it's hard, it'll still be easier at that hard stage than if you left it and procrastinated and tried to do it later, because then it'll be even harder to do it. Right. So in Colossians 3, was it 2 and 10, I think?
Yeah.
Yes. They're basically exactly the same. So I'm just going to read Colossians 3:10. It says, "And have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge after the image of its creator." When you get born again, you are a new creation. You are a new self. But our minds, our will and our emotions, as I've said before, have to be worked on. And renewing our mind is a part of that process, because that is where our free will lives. And God has given us the will to want to change and walk alongside him and change, or go and eat that apple, or go and do something else that he doesn't really want us to do. But he'll always be there to help us come back. But it'll be harder if we go and eat that. Look at what happened at Adam and Eve. They had this beautiful paradise, but they wanted to eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And when they did, their whole world fell apart. So I don't want my whole world to fall apart. I'd rather just do what God wants me to do in the paradise that I have. Okay, going on from that, when we deal with what the Lord showed me is, when we deal with renewing our minds, the enemy will always try and mess you around. So if you read 2 Corinthians 10, verse 5 and 6, it says, "For the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, but have divine power to destroy strongholds." Our minds can have strongholds. Now, our strongholds can be those that we've made, those that come down from family history, or from generationals. We have to determine, is it something that we've taught ourselves, or is it something that my mom thought about or her mom thought about? Like I shared with you in the first week about unforgiveness. That, I don't know how far back, but I know it was in my grand's life. I know it was in my mom's life, and it could have been in mine. And the Bible speaks about the curses being visited upon the third and the fourth generation, but the blessings can be blessed upon to 1,000 generations. Well, I choose to live under the blessing. It's not always easy, because there's lots of conditions. But if I adhere to those conditions, if I do what God is asking me to do, the blessing will far outweigh the difficulty of changing. And that is renewing your mind, because a lot, we are always taught, I mean, I don't know about South Africa anymore, and I don't know what Canada's like, but in England, when you go to school, you do not fail. Even the children that run a race get a prize that come last, because nobody, according to them, nobody fails. Now, that is not teaching kids the right way. So we have got brats now, because they all expect to win. They all expect to get something. Okay, and that is not what it is. Yes, when we are Christians, we all get blessed. But my blessing will be different to Molly's blessing, to Wendy's blessing, to Tracy's blessing. Okay, because God has gifted us and has called us to do different things. But our blessings is never diminished or more than. It might be different, but it's never less or more. It's what we need for whatever God's calling us to. And people look at other people, especially when it comes to finances, to homes, to things like that. They think God's blessed those people far more because they've got a beautiful home, they've got lots of money, etc., etc. Okay? But you don't know what those people have had to sacrifice. What those people have had to, what time, what effort that they've had to put in to obtain those things. But also the calling on their lives means that they need it for whatever purpose and plan God has for them. Some people might not need a big mansion. They might only need a 2 or 3 bedroom house. Because they might be called to be missionaries. So they have a house that is sitting there. So when they come home, they have a place of rest. They have a place of refreshment. But they're out on the road traveling. So why keep a big mansion that's taking finances that they could be using on the mission field? Okay? Then you have other people that need the big mansion because God's called them to hospitality. He's called them to bring in the brokenhearted, to help them be fixed, you know, to be renewed, to understand where they're at, and then to send them out. So their house is constantly moving with people. They would need a big house. Okay? But people don't think like that. They just think, I need a big house. Why? Because the world says so? What does God say? You know? I need a new car. Do you really need a new car? Or is it just because everybody else is getting a new car that you want a new car? Or do you really have a banger that's not going and that's costing you more money at the end of the day than actually buying a new car? So it's thinking differently. It's not thinking the way the world thinks. God will provide our needs and our wants. But why do we want it? Do we want it because the world's got it? Or do we want it because we want to use it for something that we can bless others with? That's a different way of thinking. Once again, you've got to determine in your heart, how does God want you to think about a home? How does God want you to think about finances? How does God want you to think about ministry? Whatever it is, loving others. Forgiving others. It's got to be the way that God wants you to think about it. Not the way that Vanessa says you have to think about it, or who this preacher or that person. It's got to be how God wants you to think about it. Because then it'll be pure. It'll be done in love. It'll be done to not only bless you, but it will bless the people that you come into contact with. As Pedro says, you will bless the people that you serve, that you have a heart for, that you love. It'll bless them. And that's who you call to. So renewing your mind is something that not only renewing your mind brings about a change in thinking, but it brings a stability in knowing who you are. I know that I was from a generation that never forgave. But I know that through God's grace, when I was 12, he changed for my generation, for me and my future generation, I know that he's changed it. And every time I've seen it in my children, I have prayed that God would break it, that it doesn't come to the third and fourth generations of my lifetime, but that they walk in the blessing to 1,000 generations of forgiveness. So your weapons are not what's happening around you. Your weapons are spiritual. They are fighting the enemy, because he will throw fiery darts at you all the time. Think this way, think this way, think this way. And God is saying no. And if you take it, the fiery darts that he sends at you, if you're in the living water, it won't touch you, because water extinguishes fire. Yeah. It puts it out. So if you are surrounding yourselves, if you're drinking from the water, if you're soaking in the water, that fiery dart will not be able to land. No weapon formed against you will prosper. But it will prosper if you're not in the river. It will prosper if you're as dry as a bone and it has a place to land. But if you're in the river, if you're in Christ, if you're doing what he's asking you to do, it can't stand a chance to succeed. It might be aimed at you, but it has no place to land. The only access that any weapon formed against you has place to land is if you open the door for it. Okay. And there's many different things. There's unforgiveness. There's rebellion. There's lots of different doors that you could open for a weapon. But if you're closing all those doors, then it doesn't have any, and you trust in God. I mean, I got to a stage where at one stage there was somebody that I really, really battled to forgive. And I had to go, just like Marshall did with my mom, I had to go and say, God, my heart does not want to forgive. My head, I know that I have to do this. So I'm giving you my word of mouth that I want to forgive them. I pray that you help me to change my heart to forgive them. You see, and that was closing the door so that no weapon could come in, because I submitted my heart to God to help me renew that heart, to help me renew my mind in the way that I thought about that person, loved that person, and saw that person. If you think about it, this is the very next one. Philippians 4, verse 8. It says, finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is just, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is anything excellent, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. Mm-hmm. Now, I use that verse, and I know people don't use that verse, but I use that verse to help me forgive. I said to the Lord, show me one good thing about that person. One good thing about that person. And I will think on that. And that little seed of one good thing about that person turned my whole view of that person, because I began to see that person as God saw them. Not as they were, not what they were doing, but as God saw them. That helped me renew my mind about that person. And sometimes when they did things in the natural, it would be almost like a shock to me to think, but that's not that person. That's not how God sees that person. And then I began to do it to myself. Okay, so how does God see me? What am I doing that in a way is shocking God, because it's not who he created me to be?
Yeah.
Okay. And that's what it's about. It's about, okay, God, so in you showing me who I am, how do I have to think about myself? Because the if I think about myself the way that God thinks about me, I will have stability. I won't have insecurities. I will have stability in who I am. If somebody comes against me in the natural, it won't bother me because I know who I am and I know who God's created me to be. So it will not rock my world. Whether it's a person who doesn't know me or whether it's one of my family or whatever, that's what helped me through. I know that in a lot of ways, my family thought of me as the religious freak. That was just it. It just was, especially my brother, my oldest brother. He still thinks of me like that, but he's got a different perspective of me now. Living with me in these last couple of months, I think opened his eyes to the fact that I am human. I'm not just this religious freak out there, you know. But the thing is, I know who I am. And I am comfortable in my own skin. I might not like everything that I do. I might not like my weight in the position that it is. Yes, I'm working on it. But what I'm saying is I'm comfortable in who I am with the changes that God is showing me that I need to do. And in that comfortableness of who I am, knowing who I am, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Especially if I'm called to do it. If I'm not called to do it, I won't be successful. But if I'm called to do it, I will be, because that's who I am. But a lot of us don't know who we are.
Yeah.
And that's the scary bit, is that even as Christians, Molly and I heard a lady's testimony a little while ago, where she was a Christian from a very young age, and yet she was a suicidal Christian. And God had to set her free from that. You know, so just because you're a Christian doesn't mean that you have it all together. It doesn't mean that everything will swim in the right way. Not everything will happen the way that you plan it in your head. But if you know who you are, if a bump comes in the road, or if there's a bridge missing and you've got to cross the bridge, you know what you can do. And then you know who to call to do the balance of what you can't do. And that's working as a family. That's working as the body of Christ. We are not built to be alone. But we have to work alone to change and become who God's created us to be. We can't ask other people to do it for us. We can't get somebody else to change for us. We have to change ourselves. Okay. Any questions quickly before I give you the questions that you will do this week? No? Was that good? Was that thought-provoking?
Yeah.
Okay. Question one. There's five questions. Okay. Question one. In your own words, what does renewing your mind mean to you? Now that you've done what we've discussed here, what does it mean to you now? Just a fun, easy one. Describe how your body and soul get saved.
What did you say?
Describe how your body and soul get saved. Okay, ready for the next one?
Yep.
Molly, you okay for the next one?
Yeah.
Okay. What and who do you spend time with, and how do they influence you in your daily living? I'll go slowly again. What and who do you spend your time with? and how do they influence you in your daily living? Okay.
What, and how do they influence you?
In your daily living. In your daily living.
Okay.
All right.
Yeah.
What does new self mean to you? New self. You know, in that scripture it says new self. Let me just get it for you. Let's see if I can find it. Okay. In Colossians 3, verse 10, it says, and I've put on the new self. So what does new self mean to you? And last one. What does your, where does your mind live?
On the beach.
Flow, eh? You said.
Hey?
You said, where does your mind flow?
No, live. Live. That's
where
you.
Does your mind live?
Yeah.
In Canada.
Okay, thanks, Molly. Okay. Right. Let's close in prayer, then I'll stop the recording. And then if you have any questions or anything, we can just spend a couple of minutes just going through anything. Okay. Father, we thank you for this time. And we just ask, Lord, that you would continue to show us your will and your way for renewing our minds as we just ponder on these questions, we ponder on the scriptures that you have provided. We just ask, Lord, that you would highlight and show us what we need to do. And we just thank you for this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Right, let's just stop the recording.